NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
It's been a while coming, but Millie Lovelock, aka Repulsive Woman, has recently released her debut record, Relief. It's absolutely beautiful. I highly recommend it. And so I wanted to have a chat with Millie about the album and how it all came together. Album is beautiful.
Thank you.
So good. I love it a lot.
I'm glad.
How are you feeling now you've got it out into the world?
I'm feeling really good. It's a relief almost.
Hey, nice pun there.
Not the first time I've made it.
What I really like about the record too is the engineering and production, which you worked on with Adelaide Dunn. It seems to play a big role in the overall sound of the album, and more than just actually like being well recorded, there's a beautiful use of sounds and effects. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about how you came to work with Adelaide and what the working process is like between you two to achieve and develop the sound you wanted?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you've noticed that the production is a really special part of the record. I feel like it's almost as much a part as the guitar or the bass or the violin. Adelaide is really a really, really special producer. I've known her for a while. I didn't know her very well until we started recording together. The first time I think I actually met her properly was at a party, and it was a dress-up party, and she was dressed as, now my film knowledge is going to let me down, but I'm pretty sure it was, is Liv Tyler in Almost Famous? And she works for a record company or something.
Records maybe?
I think so. And so Adelaide was dressed as Liv Tyler and was saying, I'm dressed like this because I really want to be an audio engineer. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then kind of forgot about it until the start of 2018, when I was starting to think about making an album or doing some kind of Repulsive Woman release that wasn't a demo that I'd done myself. So I sent Adelaide a message asking if she would be interested in doing some work with me, and luckily she was, and we devoted the whole year basically to the album. She's just a very gentle person to work with. You feel very at ease with her in the studio. There's no tension whatsoever, which is lovely. Not that I've worked with people who've made me feel tense, but I'm usually quite a tense person in the studio.
But also recording something that's actually quite an intimate work, it seems it would be important to be with someone that you feel comfortable and relaxed around in particular.
Yeah, definitely. It was quite a new experience for both of us as well, because I've really only made punk music in studios before, and this was Adelaide's first album that she'd worked on, so... It was quite nice. We both felt quite fresh, I think, coming into it. We recorded every Monday for 6 or 7 months. And I recorded all the vocals in the room with her. We had two rooms in the studio, but I recorded everything in the same room. So it was quite an intimate process, like in terms of the space we were using. We were very close together the whole time, which I think you can really hear in the album. It feels very close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. With the first song, Relief, that song actually came out quite a while ago, July 2017, I think.
Yeah. So that version of Relief that came out in 2017 is one that I recorded myself in my bedroom. So that was kind of the first demo of that song. And the version that's on the album I recorded last year with Adelaide.
Beautiful.
So that original version of Relief, I actually really like that recording, even though it's got this hiss that will not go away. There was nothing I could do. My interface is a bit broken, so everything I record has this like lovely warm hiss to it, which is a flaw in the recording. But once we'd made the album version, we were in the studio doing some mixing, and we're like, something is wrong with this song, but it's so hard to know what's wrong with it. We're like, it doesn't have any hiss on it.
Doesn't have that warm tape hiss sound.
Yeah. So we added some tape hiss in.
I was reading an interview on Under the Radar with you, mm-hmm. and you were talking about the differences in writing for Astro Children and writing for Repulsive Woman. And mm-hmm. and you sort of went on to talk about how Repulsive Woman is less about other people's gaze and more about your own. And mm-hmm. and Relief really ties up that theme, the sort of lyrics about catching yourself in the mirror and that kind of thing, which is a great metaphor for self-reflection, you know, reflecting on oneself.
Thank you.
what sort of headspace were you in when you were penning this track?
Relief specifically. I wrote that song a couple of months after I'd finished my master's degree. And I just started working this horrendous job that I won't name and shame, but it was awful. And I think I was just feeling a bit kind of directionless, quite exhausted. I'd just done this mammoth piece of work with my master's thesis, and then all of a sudden I wasn't really working on a big project. I'd also just finished an Astro Children album. I just was sitting on my bedroom floor in my flat, in front of my mirror, with a cup of coffee, and wearing this sweater that I am completely enamored with, that I've had for about 5 years, that is now disintegrating.
Oh, sad. No, not the favorite sweater.
Ralph Lauren sweater that I got from a secondhand shop for $5. And it's the love of my life. So hopefully I can make it last for a lot longer yet. But and I just, yeah, I remember just looking in the mirror and being like, oh, shit. You're in a bad place. And I think I tweeted about it. I tweeted a version of the opening line from Relief and then thought, oh, maybe I could use that as a song. And later that day wrote that track and thought, oh, okay, I feel better now.
I think it's also worth pointing out that you play both cello and guitar on this song, and through most of the record you're playing both those instruments and more. How long have you been playing cello for?
I actually was learning the cello in 2017. So I started learning in 2017, and I played for about a year, and then unfortunately just got too busy to keep going to lessons. I played the violin for about 8 years when I was growing up, so I'm very much a string instrument person. Mm-hmm. I didn't play violin on the album because I'm not good enough. I'm not actually very good at violin, and I haven't played in about 10 years. But I just became really obsessed. I think because I was feeling so directionless in 2017, I thought, oh, well, I'll do something. I'll learn the cello because it's such a beautiful instrument. I just absolutely love it.
It seems like it would be a beautiful instrument to hold, sort of satisfying and...
Definitely. It's so big. I love the cello, and I took to it quite quickly. So it wasn't super challenging to play the cello parts that I did end up playing on the album. I feel like it's my instrument, even though I'm not really playing it at the moment. I want to pick it up again. It's just so gorgeous, so mournful, and such a great texture to add to pop music, I think.
You're also playing the cello in When I Get Good, mm-hmm. and you just mentioned violin earlier. Olive Butler's playing violin on that track. Adelaide yes. Dunn is playing piano on that track. Mm-hmm. What I really like about this song is how it fades up, and it kind of reminds me of some like cool 90s tune, like something from Fiona Apple or Ooh. Something like that. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the sonic influences to your sound, maybe when you were mixing or you know, whatever sort of touchstones you were looking at?
So when we went into making the album, Adelaide asked me to make her a playlist of sonic reference points for the record, and I was listening to a lot of PJ Harvey at the time, particularly the album White Chalk. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge reference point for me, and I remember saying on the first day that we were recording, I really want this album to have a PJ Harvey vibe, and I don't think it does have a PJ Harvey vibe very much, apart from maybe on When I Get Good, which has that kind of darker texture to it.
Mm-hmm.
So PJ Harvey was a huge reference point for a lot of the instrumentation, I think. We didn't want to go overboard with too much instrumentation. So When I Get Good is quite a robust sounding song, but there's not that much on there. There's a small handful of instruments playing a lot of stuff.
With When I Get Good, there's a lot of relatable stuff lyrically. You know, being bad at waking up in the mornings for a start. But I also really like the line about becoming a baker. I have these also, you know, romantic fantasies where I actually like take up some sort of job, like being a council gardener or a librarian. And I really liked hearing someone else express that kind of mundane fantasy.
Yeah, I was actually just talking with my friend last night about how I fantasize about working in a grocery shop and living in a seaside cottage and not having to do anything else in my life. It'd be quite nice.
Absolutely. This is followed by Ulysses, which is more just like a little interlude, where you're referencing James Joyce's novel.
Yeah.
His epic novel. What I really like as well is how this track links with the next song, which is Somebody. And I feel like there's this sort of sense of, you know, feeling like you're having to prove yourself or people trying to make you prove yourself.
Ulysses, I think it's a fairly self-contained, self-explanatory unit of a song. But it's definitely coming from a similar place to other songs I've written, and Somebody especially. I think it's quite a tense song in that it suggests very much that people simultaneously feel that there's maybe nothing to me, but maybe something to me that they can have. So, yeah. I mean, I have read Ulysses. I do have a master's degree in literature. So, in that respect, there is some substance to me in a way, I suppose. But a lot of people also underestimate me. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's an issue in my life that I'm yet to resolve.
I love the imagery conjured up in Somebody. It gives a real narrative sense to this song.
That line about the knife actually came to me when I was making. I tend to go a bit sort of wild at Christmas time, and I don't really cook very often in my life, but at Christmas I'm suddenly compelled to make so much food for my family. And I was reading a recipe for dark chocolate truffles. There's something about putting, sliding a butter knife into the truffle, and if it came out clean, then they were good to go.
I mean, that's absolutely what I thought of as well, as like baking a cake, but then you kind of put this double use into it, and I really enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I feel like I can use that somehow.
I think it's, talking about sort of playing with words as well, I think it's also worth pointing out that Somebody is two words, not one, in this title of the song. Can you explain a little bit about that?
I think when I wrote it, I was imagining Somebody as one word.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was writing the lyrics out, I realized that there was kind of a play in the line, "You thought you'd find in me somebody." I mean, it can be both one word, but with the image of the knife coming in and nothing coming out on it. It's also like there's no physical body there.
Mm.
And I'm quite interested in the relationships that people have with their physical form, depending on their kind of position in the world or their position in society. So, and I think women have a particularly fraught relationship with having that physical form. So, with the song kind of being about being simultaneously over and underestimated, it's kind of like you end up as a nothingness. Mm. So there might be this physical form there, but there's so much tension in the way you're perceived that there's almost a void within that form. So yeah, I guess that's where the title comes from.
I'm really happy that you've unpacked that for me a little bit, because I think that's probably my favourite song on the record personally. I really, really love that track. I also wanted to ask you about Overripe.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only song I think that has drums in it, which add these wonderful thunderous kind of touches.
Mm.
And you're doing that. It sounds like a couple of toms maybe that you're using.
A kick and a four tom. I think we put a rack tom in there as well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was fun. I liked recording drums.
Great touch to the track. I really liked it. I was listening to this in particular last night, sort of as I was drifting off to sleep, and I think this whole album is perfect for darkness in a way. I was listening to it on the bus at 5 o'clock this morning when I was going to work, and it suits that kind of mood, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I normally write songs at nighttime, but most of this album I wrote during the day, so that's kind of fascinating to me that it feels like a nighttime record. My dad listened to it for the first time at night as well. He sent me a text saying, "Listening to it in bed in the dark, perfect."
I think I can be I think I can be softer, moving
explain the title of Overripe.
I didn't have a title for it in mind when I was writing it. It took me actually quite a long time to write that song. I had the chorus part came to me quite easily, and then it took me a bit longer to nail down the verse parts, because I felt really strongly that I shouldn't use any chords or kind of playing techniques that made it sound too closed off, because the chords in the chorus are so like open.
Yeah, it's a really expansive song.
Yeah, I think that's largely down to the shapes that I'm using on the guitar. They're just really washy, resonant sounds. So by the time I'd gotten to the verse parts, I'd kind of written myself into this, what felt like a metaphor for overripe fruit, this kind of idea of, you know, when like a peach or a nectarine gets super ripe, and the skin can hardly contain the center, and they're super tender, but liable to just completely rupture at any point. And also, I guess, sweetness increases with the rotting process in fruit. So, yeah, I'd sort of inadvertently ended up in what felt like a metaphor that was kind of drawing on fruit going through that rotting process, and overripe seemed like a good title. Also, for the way that that song moves, it starts off very sparse and then slowly kind of gathers texture as it goes along until that extended chorus at the end really, really swells.
Mm-hmm.
So sonically, it kind of felt like it was going through that process as well. And it feels very fit to burst, almost like it's right on the edge of losing control, but it doesn't. It kind of maintains itself, even though it could disintegrate, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a perfect way of describing that. It's all coming together now in my head. The closing song is Earn It Twice,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, another favourite of mine, and it's got that beautiful choral kind of background vocal happening as well. Can you tell me a little bit about how this track came together?
That was the last song that I wrote for the album, so it felt fitting to have it be literally at the end of the album. It feels it feels like a Harry Styles song to me. When I was writing it, I mean, obviously I love Harry Styles, so I was listening a lot to a song of his album called Ever Since New York, which has these really lovely kind of glistening chords on the guitar in it. They actually kind of, they remind me of like really good Neil Young songs from kind of the Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young era.
Mm-hmm.
Just these, yeah, they absolutely are the most resonant, shiny sounding chords, and I love them. And I'd been listening to that a lot, and I was thinking about a song that I'd actually written for Astro Children years and years and years ago that I knew had similar chords, but I couldn't quite remember what they were. And it was a song that, for whatever reason, never came into being fully. We jammed it a few times and kind of forgot about it. And I couldn't remember it. So I thought, I wonder if I can retrieve some of that song from the depths of my memory, and was just trying to come up with, well, trying to remember the descending chord pattern that I knew it had, and I couldn't quite remember, and I just ended up writing this other song. And it was a lovely sunny afternoon in Dunedin. I was sitting in my bedroom on my bed, and it just kind of happened, and I thought, oh, I think this is it. I think I finished the album.
What a relief.
Mm-hmm.
I had to throw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.